I'm Nancy Williams for Petals and Prose, and I'm going to talk to you today about one of the wonderful writers I've discovered and followed for years, and that is John Nichols. He is probably most famous for stories that have been made into movies, like The Sterile Cuckoo from the 80s and The Milagro Beanfield War, which is one of my very favorite movies. He writes about the area in northern New Mexico around Taos, which is where he moved in 1969 when he was in his late 20s and starting a career as a writer in New York City and was kind of depressed about the whole writing scene on the East Coast. So he ended up in Taos in 1969, and he writes with amusement, a wry sort of sense of humor about the joys and tribulations of living in an adobe farmhouse that's always at the mercy of nature. So he is talking a lot about the pleasures of trout fishing and the things that go on when you live in the area around Taos, which is a lovely lyrical area. And one of the favorite things that I have found from a memoir that he wrote is about wood gathering and getting ready for the winter, just the nature of life as winter approaches. This book by John Nichols is called If Mountains Die, a New Mexico Memoir. One of my favorites, as I said, and I think it goes in and out of print. And this particular passage from it has to do with making a wood run. Everybody in Taos has a wood stove or a fireplace, and they gather the most wonderful kind of wood of all, pinon wood, and burn it through the winter. The scent of it still, when I smell that, immediately takes me back home because I grew up in northern New Mexico, too. So here's what John Nichols says about the wood runs. Sometimes, returning from our first wood runs, we forsook the Taos Junction Road and traveled north on 285 to Tres Piedras, then drove southeast on Route 111 in order to pass over the bridge spanning the top of the gorge. No fences ran along the road, and cattle roamed freely. The mesa up there is antelope country, and one day I saw a herd of 25 of them racing across the quiet plain. The first of those animals I had ever seen in the wilderness. Stopping the car, I felt locked in an African vista. Every few miles, a lone juniper cast a dramatic black silhouette. Above the antelope, the full moon was as transparently white as a thin wafer of ice. Later, I stopped at the gorge bridge. The gorge was dark. 700 feet below, the Rio Grande trickle was a shiny lead-silver color, like a delicate vein in a black stone. I got dizzy looking down, and afraid. The fall was so great, and for some reason that silver ribbon trickling through blackness, viewed from warm 7 o'clock sunshine, made me shudder. Later on in the fall of that year, after every wood run, we stopped in the forest beside the old railroad trestle and gathered pinon nuts. It was a good year. In forests all around Taos, people collected the nuts falling from pinon cones. We spread a blanket under a tree, and one of us climbed up and shook the branches. Usually, most of the nuts wound up beside instead of on the blanket, and we crawled on our hands and knees, plucking up the tiny brown nuts one by one, placing them in coffee cans or paper bags. At home, we heated the nuts in the oven or in a frying pan and then nibbled on them constantly for the next 2 years. Suddenly, it was October. Snow had started falling in the mountains. We drove home from wood expeditions, biting open the tiny pinon nut shells and sucking in the raw meat, spitting the shells out the window, our eyes fixed on the white, misty configuration settling over Taos Mountain, winter recurring just above our valley, threatening to bury us all in white at any moment. It was my habit then to stop and pick up birds and small mammals hit by other automobiles. And one day I found a bird I'd never even heard of, a Williamson sapsucker. Another time, out beyond Carson, we found a lovely tan and gray thrasher, a streamlined bird whose colors had come from this earth, but whose delicate shape seemed imported from a foreign planet. As winter approached, we made our last run, and as the final conveniently sectioned pinon chunks were being unloaded into the 9-foot-high wood pile beside our portel, we both thought our wood could last forever, or at least for the next 2 years. Mercifully unaware that we would be out of logs and half freezing to death by February, we stumbled inside, stoked up a fire in the combination stove, and then soaked in a hot tub, sore and dusty and smelling of pinon pitch. Our bodies woozy, and in that steamy water, voluptuously dreamy. Dressing in starched clean clothes, we cooked up a steak and ate baked potatoes with sour cream, had cabbage on the side, and drank beer. Moths had quit battering around the portel light bulb. All of the valley trees had turned. Their leaves were starting to fall. In bed, on crinkly, clean white sheets, the windows open, we lay quiet, listening to the valley, smelling apples and pears rotting in our little orchard, and getting faint whiffs also of the snow gathering in the mountains. I have never loved any moment any better. During black early morning hours of October 12th, the first snow fell. Luke came into the bedroom shortly after sunrise and woke me up. Together, we knelt beside the bed, gazing out the window. Ruby and a cat still asleep beside us. Our little lawn was almost white. A fine green gauze atop the snow was made by tips of grass. In the orchard, 1,000 crimson crab apples were perfect cones of snow. Starlings in the high cottonwoods behind the office garage made a racket. The yellow foliage of those trees was bleached by the clinging snow. Chickadees hung upside down from the bent, crisp sunflowers behind the clothesline. A Lewis's woodpecker hammered on a nearby Chinese elm. Luke and I got dressed and started a fire in the kitchen stove and went outside. Clouds lay in smoky streaks across the green and white mountains. Rich blue pinon and cedar smoke rose from the chimneys all over town. We admired the weather for a moment and then drove into Taos and in the popcorn-scented Rexall drugstore bought the Sunday papers, the Albuquerque Journal, the Santa Fe New Mexican, the Rocky Mountain News. Back home, we languished over sausages and hot muffins, reading the newspaper. Snow fell lightly again, although only mid-afternoon. An overcast sky made it dark and crepuscular. Just beyond the small ranchito's church, 6 black-faced sheep grazed on Bernardo Trujillo's front lawn, their bells clinking quietly. A few yards farther along, a group of Indian ponies in a wide Pueblo pasture rested quietly as snow built up on their backsides. Killdeers, invisible in that gloom, screeched all around them. Memories of that type of moment are powerful enough to break my heart a little. The family is no longer together, and Bernardo Trujillo, a friend who helped teach me about the acequia politics and held our ditch together against the onslaught of apathy and progress, died last autumn. I woke up on the morning of his death to the old church bell tolling, sounding clearly throughout our quiet community, ringing out a knell for all things simple and pastoral. After that walk through the first snowy day of our life in the north, we washed all the pears we had gathered earlier and carefully packed them for the winter in boxes of straw. I'm Nancy Williams for Petals and Prose, and I'll see you next time.